folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is May 4th, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there, and we thank you for being here with us this morning. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We pray, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. We pray that you just help us to focus our thoughts on the things that you'd have us to focus on and discuss the things that you'd have us to discuss. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, and I said it is May 4th, 2024. A couple things that I want to talk about, but before that, we'll go ahead and bring the men on. I see we've got Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Richard on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And we've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on that we'll be talking about this morning. But one of the things that I wanted to start off on talking about was got a couple calls this week. One of the calls was somebody called in, hadn't talked to him in quite some time. It had been many, many years, and they called in and they said, well, they said it's coming around that time where I couldn't remember if it was the third or the fourth, but it was it should be baby Rachel's birthday. And it's hard to believe that 17 years have gone by since she was in the hospital fighting for her life. And they wanted an update, and they said that there's a lot of people that did want an update on that. And, well, I'm here to give you an update that she's just doing fine and dandy. She's doing real good. And it's really hard to believe that that was 17 years ago that we were in that children's hospital just battle after battle after battle, fighting for her life. We went on the radio with Pastor Peters, and it was the remnant out there that shut the phone bank down at that hospital, and all the calls that came in, and couldn't get phone calls in or out, and they brought us into their conference room and said, okay, let's negotiate. And during that time, we saw miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, it was she was pronounced dead on the table by the doctors, and then she started crying. And it was from there on forth, her life has been a lot of miracles. Basically, the doctors figured out that the doctors really didn't know anything. What a blessing. And, you know, just wanted to thank everybody out there that had prayed for her and has prayed for her. She's beat everything that the doctors said she would have problems with. So praise the Lord for that. We give all the praise and all the glory to our Heavenly Father for that. And she's a happy go-getter girl who's got a bunch of chickens, and she's got three little brothers that she just dotes over, and she's doing very well. So I wanted to make sure and give that update out there, and I thank those that have called and written in and asked about it, and I apologize for not keeping people updated. But, yeah, everything is just as perfect as can be. So thanks for that. Yeah, there's a lot of other things that are going on in the world. I don't know. Did anybody else have anything that they wanted to start off with this morning?
Well, Jason, I'm glad you brought that up about your daughter, because that is truly it is, just as you said, a miracle, many miracles. And it's encouraging. I know it's encouraging to me. I know it's encouraging to the remnant when they hear those things that that God still hears and answers prayers. And and you're absolutely right. You know, Rachel's a beautiful young lady, and I like how you put she dotes over her little brothers. One of those brothers is bigger than she is, but still younger. But yes, she does. And it is. It's encouraging. God is good. And even in the midst of the turmoil we live in the turmoil that was here 17 years ago, and if we make another 17, there'll be turmoil then too, probably. But it is, God is good in that he is faithful, and he has been faithful, and he will continue to be. And it is. I just wanted to make that comment because, yeah, it is. It's we live miracles every day. Some are certainly a lot bigger than others, and Rachel is certainly a big one. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was.
One thing I want to mention too is, you know, my father-in-law had a big stroke. I mean, a massive stroke. They didn't know if it was just seizures or what it was. And in looking back, man, if you didn't know that was a stroke, you shouldn't be in the business. But they gave him 2 years to live, and I told him, I said, "Don't you dare believe those people what they said." I says, and anyway, he gets, he listened to me because he lived 20 some years. But sometimes we brand with stuff. We believe it probably usually happens. And I don't think we know the power of our mind and words. It's just the thing I wanted to say because, no, they don't know. Fact of all, most of them don't have faith. They live on what they've been taught as far as, you know, drugs and surgery and all the other things like stuff. And they just flat don't understand faith. And most of the people around me don't either. I live by faith, you know. I've lived without insurance for 40 years, you know, and I said, well, God can take care of me or I can die. I'm going to die anyway someday. So, you know, it was just a span of time. But, you know, there's a scripture that I always made a huge impact at. Rely not in your own understanding. And we are branded by faithlessness, doubted Thomas or whatever, that just, they're all around us because not a lot of people encourage us in our faith. And either you have it or you don't. I think we're going into trial period right now. We're going to find out who it does have and who don't. So, don't let people brand you with thoughts because there are miracles. And, you know, God is for us. If he's for us, who can be against us? Nobody.
Well, and that's one of the things that that we learned. One of the lessons that I guess the Lord taught us when we were in that hospital is, you know, don't believe what the doctors are telling you. It was, you know, they had a list a mile long of surgeries that they wanted to do, and we told them that we wanted to trust the Lord, and we didn't want her to be a science experiment. And she's going to have this problem, and she's going to have that problem, and she's not going to live past this time and that time. And they kept giving us dates, and it'll be, well, she'll have a year to live here or 2 years to live at most, and this and that. And it's like, you know, so many people, they look at their doctors as their small g gods, and, you know, doc, how long do I have to live? And that's not up for their doctor to decide. And, you know, people need to get over that. The Bible says that your days are numbered from the beginning to the end. And no doctor can change that. And those doctors don't know that. And I see that all the time, is people, you know, asking their doctor, you know, how long have I got? And, you know, that's just foolishness. Well, they're awful quiet out there. The phone number, I don't know if I got this phone line hooked up right or not, but the phone number is to call in is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. Tim, what do you see going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, my God. I had one, unfortunately, I didn't get to put out last week, but I thought I would kind of start with that one. It was about this, and just something, a heads up for people out there on this, cricket protein is a big thing they're talking about, and they want to, and they're not calling it cricket protein, they're calling it Akita, which is
right.
A-C-H-E-T-A, and they're putting in all kinds of, and it's interesting to me that one of the big moves right now is to put it into protein bars, protein powders, other supplements. And of course, they're putting it in other things, and they wanted to, they just, oh, it's going to take over the, it's just going to take over everything. And University of California just came out, as a matter of fact, this was kind of new, but the University of California just came out with a publishing on April 15th, where they were talking about, the fact that insect cultivation, as far as global supply of dietary protein, is Their study demonstrates that the sustainability gains associated with cultivating crickets will depend on large part on what the crickets are fed and which systems of livestock production they are compared to. So basically that's saying, now, by the way, this isn't probably going to work. When you go through this article, they're talking about capturing protein from underutilized organic waste and different side streams to raise these crickets. And the one thing I basically said is, well, it will only be successful if we get rid of cattle. It's not going to provide enough for everybody everywhere because we're not going to be able to raise them in the quantity that's needed. But, if we get rid of beef, it'll be all right. It'll look good on paper. And
I know the insanity of it. Well, and I've seen where they've got cricket protein drinks, cricket protein bars. They're saying that they're marketing as a good source of protein. You know, it's one thing when your chickens are out there eating crickets and they lay an egg and you eat an egg. I mean, to me, that's as close as I want to get to be eating a cricket. Talking about, feeding people insects. And the other thing, too, is I guess there's a lot of allergies out there that people have. If you're allergic to shellfish, if you're allergic to different kinds of fish and stuff like that, that they say that you can have allergic reactions to the cricket protein powder as well. But, I can see it, being used maybe in a chicken feed or something like that. But that's what they want to do is they want you eating insects. Talk about downgrading people.
It's along the same lines. If you look at it from the big picture, I think it's along the same lines as solar. Oh, we have to get rid of fossil fuels. We can't use that for energy anymore. And so they've pushed the solar and the wind, the big wind turbines, as being green, and they advertise it as that, just like they advertise this bug protein. This is the future. This is what we're going to have to do. Get rid of what we feed now. Got to stop those cows from farting and start having cricket farms. And it's ludicrous. It's absolute insanity because the solar isn't anything near as efficient or have the longevity or anything near things like hydroelectric or nuclear power or coal or natural gas burning power plants. Wind farms don't either. Those huge blades that you have to pull off the road when the trucks bring them by, they have a lifespan average of about 10 years, and then they've got to be buried. They can't be recycled. They can't. It's a huge mess. The tons of concrete they have to pour for every tower. It's just all, and then you throw in the electric vehicles on top of that. And it's just insanity. And this is the latest. This is the latest of what our enemies want to do. Yeah, we've seen the decline of the American beef over the last 20, 30 years. We're seeing foreign beef come in, and we're seeing more and more diseases. And so, nobody's ever raised crickets for food on a large scale. Oh, they've done it in small acreages, but nobody's ever done it on large scale. They don't know what type of hoof and mouth disease or tuberculosis or things like that that might come in. I don't know how better to describe it than insanity. I really don't. But it's what our enemy does. I hope I never get that hungry that I have to eat crickets.
We'll go back to you, Tim.
Well, it's just interesting that the Bible does talk about us, about those unclean creeping things. And I just think a lot of times it's like, it's kind of like Jason and I were talking about some of that. I don't know. God doesn't always put everything in I don't know if everything's in there that we're not supposed to eat. I mean, I think some of it's kind of common sense. You don't eat human waste. You don't eat animal waste. There's certain things that, just aren't being done. And, you know, do we need to write down all the particular things they should eat? No,
I think they should add some common sense. I didn't think I had to put that in there.
I have to write that too. But yeah, so I really believe that. And the other thing is this move is on, and I think this is something that we need to be aware of. They want to make us unclean and undesirable before a God, whether they're putting DNA in human DNA in hogs, or whether they're doing the things that they are doing and that they want us to take part in, is one of those things that they seek to make us, you know, unfavorable to our God, or unclean, or not to be looked upon. That's the only weapon that they have that they can use against us, is to get us to foul ourselves some way before our God. Otherwise, we have this, you know, we have a relationship with him where he says, you're my people and I'm your God and I'm going to take care of you. You know? But I mean, there's a few things you just don't want to do. And I think that, you know, whether it's cricket eating, or there's all this, they want to take whatever works and substitute it with something else, because they want all the money, they want all the power, they want to destroy us. That's what they want to do. And it's like, yeah, guys, we don't need that. Sorry. So, and God doesn't want it either. So.
Well, and there's plenty of ways that you can get good protein in that. I mean, that's just not one of them. But I was, you know, I like, there's some good pea proteins in there. There's out there. There's some good whey proteins. And I mean, if you need to get some extra protein, there's a lot of ways to do it. I was looking at some of the advertisements for some of these cricket fit bars and stuff that you can get them at the health food store. You can get them off of Amazon, you know, and you know, that's what they're marketing them as, you know, environmental friendly, sustainability, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of other things that are just the same way. And it's like, yeah. Wow.
Well, and basically this study from the University of California concerning that came out on the 15th of April, it shows that if you just can exercise some discernment and read through the lines just a little bit on what they're saying, we may have more problems with this than we anticipate. It may not go as well as we think. And the other problem with bugs is they're easily affected by microorganisms and diseases. And if you happen to get one out of the waste that they're eating, it can wipe out entire crops. So there's that from a financial standpoint on a razor. I don't really care. But, you know, the other thing is that they basically, what they're saying in there, and they say it in there in veiled words more than once, is that if you put it up against the beef production type environment, they lose hands down by landslide. Crickets do. They can't even get close. So, you know, it's kind of an amazing thing on how that works as far as conversion factors go and everything else. And God gave us perfect food sources. I'll tell you what, I'd sure take a T-bone over a cricket leg any day. So that's the way I feel about it.
Dude, what are we going to have these free-range cricket farms popping up all over the place?
Well, don't forget, God sits in the heavens and laughs. I mean, if you're taken in by this, I guess you deserve it. You know, that the problem is the people are getting what they deserve, you know. You take milk. You know, I lived on a little dairy farm. We had 25 cows, and we could have sold every drop of milk right out of the end of that tank to our neighbors. But the government come along and says you can't do that. Well, you know, my dad went along with it. But now there's a milk plant, you know, 5 or 6 miles from my house, and semi after semi goes on that thing day in and day out. And I drive, every time I drive by it, I say, that was milk till it went in there. It's just like soybeans. They take the oil out and sell the meal back to the farmer. I mean, you talk about a racket. They destroy that food, you know. That old Joel Salatin, you know, he drinks out of the cow tank. He sometimes, I got to slug the cow snot out of the way. But he says, see, we live in such a sterile society, our immune system is shot. And it's kind of crazy, but I think the guy's right on, because we don't tax our immune system at all. So then when something comes, it can't handle it. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is insanity. And then the trouble is, the people deserve it. There is not an intelligent conversation out there with people that ever consider that God is part of this. I sat at the coffee shop the other day, and they're talking about insurance. His guy, partner died, he got insurance. He got, that's why I have a really nice house, because of that insurance policy. You know, and people just wait for the catastrophe. So, I mean, not consciously, but that's what they're doing. I mean, it ain't like the Amish taking care of our own. You know, if barn burns down, they're the next day putting up a new one. And we could do that and drive a car and everything else. There's no reason we can't. That comes back to love your neighbors yourself, and that is gone. I remember back when I was young, probably 50 years ago or more, there was three farmers shared a corn planter. Well, they all got enough prosperity. They all got their own, you know, but they do, at one time they worked together. But that jealousy and covetousness, it's in us if we could let it go. But, we have the government we deserve, folks. And it's tragic that we would even entertain this. You know, I've been reading in Colorado, they're getting rid of the lion hunting and they're dumping wolves in there. And the number of, even in the number of elk in the Yellowstone Park went from 10,000 to like 1,000 just because of the wolves in there. And they're just devastating the West. You know, but they're protected. They protect all the vultures and predators, and they're after the real food. You know, God made pretty good stuff in beef. I don't know how you can improve it if you do it right. And it's so simple. But you know, that comes back to loving the creation rather than the creator. You know, and so much of this stuff that they promote is on environmental questions that are happening before their eyes, but they have no solution. They just increase the whole mess. So, we have the government we deserve. We need to turn back to God, repent or perish.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I mean, they're doing that. Now there's a bill that they're trying to introduce to bring back the grizzlies. And it's like, you know, the grizzlies and the wolves and the, you know, all this stuff. It's like our forefathers, people got to realize that they worked long and hard to get rid of these predators so that we could have things like sheep and goats and cattle and farms and ranches and keep people safe. And, it's just insanity.
Hey,
okay, I thought we had a caller there.
Well, nature has its
brutal ways with the wolves and everything like that and stuff. But then we were commissioned to take dominion. So you know, over the years through bounty and stuff, they've gotten rid of all these predators and had them. You know, I don't believe in extinction, but right close to it ain't too bad when it comes to wolves and mountain lions. If you're going to raise cattle anyway.
Well, and I just seen an article that says USDA green lights gives the green light on genetically modified soybeans that produce pig proteins. The United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, just gave the green light to genetically modify soybeans that produce pig proteins. A UK-based company named Molek has developed a genetically modified strain of soybeans that produce a mixture of soy proteins and porcine myoglobins, or pig proteins. The company claims that the new hybrids will have the same taste, texture, and nutritional value of animal meat and eventually become the alternative to traditional meat. These Frankenfood soybeans are expected to be harvested in the traditional way, but they will be used to create various plant-animal hybrid proteins and incorporated into a newly contrived market of fake meat products. And it goes on, but I mean, it gets the point across. That's what they're trying to do, and you know, they continue to genetically modify this stuff so much. And I think that we really have a good picture of that in the book of Enoch, when it talks about, you know, them splicing and cutting and splicing the roots. And if you really read into it, it's basically it's DNA, and that's what they're doing. Is I mean, they're trying to change the molecular structure of the foods and stuff. And you know, people need to realize that what God made was perfect. It didn't need any help. And you start doing this, I mean, then people are forgetting about, mad cow disease. I mean, that was because of feeding a protein to cows that shouldn't have been fed to cows.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't feed those cows sheep. That don't work. Yeah, I think the name is interesting, too. Bulek sounds an awful lot like Olek. Isn't that another
yeah.
name for the hater of all good? You know, I mean, yeah. So that can't be coincidental. So I just think that. And the other thing is, why do we need an alternative source of protein? There's no shortage of cattle or there's no shortage of protein, of food anyways, in our country, in our world. We've already talked about that, but it bears repeating. There's no shortage of food here. There's only political regimes that use food as a weapon, that withhold it from their people, that destroy it, that everything else. So if that's the case, then wouldn't it be those same enemies that are seeking to destroy this food and create a situation whereby we don't have it or we don't have the ability to it? You know, they want to lock it up and patent the you can't patent a cow. You know, God created this cow. It's been here forever. People have raised it forever. But, oh, something new. Now, if we can put a new twist on it, we can get a patent on it and we can make money and then we can fix it. So they have to come to us. And, you know, it's just like, oh, Lord, this is so, it's so messed up. It, and it's just a, like, say, pride of man thing. I mean, they have this, you know, power. They have this pride that they're going to do it, and they're using God's dirt. It's like,
yep.
Oh, my goodness. I just absolutely lose my standing.
Well, you take cows. That Holstein cow is everywhere in this nation. The number one milk cow by far of anything, but it's the most inefficient cow on the face of this earth for what it eats and what it produces. There's other cows that are much more efficient, more, you know, they eat less, they produce better, you know, the Jersey is probably the most efficient, and then Guernsey's good, and but there's other cows that are much more efficient than the Holstein, but that all, you know, they gave lots of milk for quality in the early days when, you know, when they Holstein, I seen it come across, the Holstein was taking over this whole thing, and they were giving you much more volume of milk, but it was poor quality. Now, they've been through breeding, they've increased that quality a lot, but what that cow eats and what it produces is the most inefficient cow on the face of this earth.
Right. Yeah, I can remember being told that as a kid, too, you know, by my granddad and stuff. There's that, and he said the same thing you did. The Jerseys and the Guernseys are way better. Yeah, he always thought even Swiss was better than the Holstein, but those big-bodied cows were, they're a lot harder to handle, too, in your equipment. I mean, I worked on a dairy as a kid for several years and milked cows, but, you know, those big bodies, they tear stuff up pretty good. Your Jerseys and your Guernseys are a little bit smaller and a little bit easier to get along with.
That Jersey ain't easy to get along with. They got an attitude. They're efficient.
Yeah.
I had one person.
Another thing I found interesting, I guess, was in Dubai, and I don't know if anybody else has seen any of this. Have you seen what's going on in Dubai storm-wise? Or has anybody seen anything on that?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Dubai has, they were on here a couple years back. They were bragging it all up because their temperatures were getting way too high. I mean, 117, 120, you know, daily, and no moisture. The average rainfall in Dubai is 3.73 inches per year. And the reason this matters is because a couple of years ago, they were bragging how they were going to change their weather. You know, they were going to seed clouds. They were going to do this. They were going to basically chemtrail things and make Dubai into this garden paradise. And I mean, they're really pompous about it. You know, they got millions and billions of dollars, so they were just going to do all that. Well, they went to work on it, and they started it in. You can kind of do some checking around on this if you want to, but they just had a rainfall. It was the heaviest rainfall in 75 years recorded for that area. They had 6 inches, basically, in one day. They've had severe winds. They've had So far, there's 21 people dead from this rainfall and the flash floods and everything else. I mean, it's the winds are so high it's sweeping cars off the tarmac and stuff out there. And, you know, I look at that and I go, yeah, just shake your finger in God's face a few more times, guys. Your money won't buy you anything, you know. But of course, all the, you know, scientific community is going, well, look at what climate change is doing over there in Dubai. It's like you left out the words man-made climate change. I mean, yeah, it's it's a mess over there. Well, it's made worse because of it and everything. But I'm just, it's like, yeah, so they had 21 people dying every other day over there before. But, I mean, what happens when you build your city in a desert along the ocean? I mean, it's kind of things. That whole thing is an artificial construct that can't be maintained without loads of money. We want to talk about inefficient cows. There's a city that serves no real purpose and it's very inefficient. So, anyways, just a interesting thing to me to show God's not mocked. You know, I mean, you just shake your finger at him and watch what happens.
Well, I do believe agriculture is affecting the weather. Up north here, about an hour north of me, years ago, we were in a drought, and this guy said, well, they live, there's a farming belt right along Lake Michigan for, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 miles, and then there's the National Forest. And this guy says, all this rain is jumping right over this farm ground and raining in the National Forest. Now, there is a connection between plants and the atmosphere, what they draw. I have foliar fed some plants, and they had dew on them, and right next to them they had none. So there's a connection there, and I don't understand it totally, but I do know that, I drive to Colorado a few years ago, and them fields out in Iowa, Nebraska just look gorgeous. I mean, to a farmer, they look gorgeous, but then you find one that's got a couple weeds in it, and you know it ain't Roundup ready. But all that corn is Roundup ready, and I do believe that it is affecting the weather. That's a personal opinion. But and I went to a meeting one time, Patriot Meeting, and they were talking about how they were seeding the clouds and all this and controlling the weather. But I went home, I read the Bible, and God says, I control the weather. You're looking at the wrath of God right now is what we're looking at. If you don't do it my way, you're going to put up with this stuff.
I agree with you, Paul, and I did have a paper put out by one of these schools or something at one time. I probably still got it somewhere around here, but they were talking about microclimate situations created by heavy irrigation and things like that. And it's interesting because this kind of launches me into this fact. I had a conversation here a while back with one of our local guys, and he's on his way to the Supreme Court right now over water meters and water usage on irrigation wells. And he has won every single case because he went ahead and said, hey, it's my well. I can irrigate when I want and how much I want. And I paid for the land. And anyways, he's won every case up until now. Of course, they keep on appealing it to the next higher court. So now the next court is the Supreme Court, the state Supreme. And he's going to that. But the point I'm getting at is this, and I was talking to another fellow about this, and I think we should pray for this guy because it is his land. And I said to this guy, I said, well, I'll tell you what, there's people out there that are abusing their God-given privilege. You know, we're stewards on this land, and we're stewards over this water. And I said, are there people who go to extremes and use too much and do wrong things? Absolutely. But I said, you don't make the rules for those kind of people. I said, the fact is, you don't take people's freedoms away because there are criminals in the world or because there are people who aren't smart enough to figure out how to make things work. But that's creating, to some degree, it's a symptom. It's not the disease. It's a symptom that these situations and farming that are creating these climate changes, and it's a symptom. All these things are symptoms of the root cause, which is what you're saying, Paul, is we've turned our back on God. We don't want to do it his way. We don't want to give the land a 7-year rest. We want to charge interest and pay interest, and we want to, you know, do all these things, and it creates all these problems when we don't do it God's way. So you know, if you really want to solve the problem, solve the root cause.
Well, I got a text and somebody from, that's listening in and said, the plan in Genesis was for mankind to cultivate, not to create. Good point.
It is a good point. Very good.
A few years ago, I raised a field of open pollinated corn. And I don't know if you know what velvet leaf is. It's a severe weed that's kind of under control now. But it would. And, but anyway, I planted it, and that velvet leaf got about 2 foot tall, stopped growing, and never set a seed pod. And that, and it was an open pollinated corn that did it. And the reason I believe that, because it was a farm down in Allegan County, the same thing happened. See, when we hybridize things, we create other problems. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, we'd have meat, the church would have made rain for rain. You know, now you got Valens NK come out with this irrigation. And if you grow a plant properly, it has about a 90% less demand for water. This nitrogen potassium pump up just makes them thirsty for water. And you got to, you know, lawns too. You just got to, takes a lot of water to keep it green when it's raised improperly. So, and then you talk about Gabe Brown and all these people taking a 12-inch rain on heavy clay and drive on it the next day. Now, that's your reservoir. If you get 3 inches only, I mean, that's a, you can save a lot of water. So nature has its way, and it's a beautiful way. But it takes patience and let to get rid of the greed.
Yeah, the capability is only there to, yeah, to a certain point. That's a fact. I mean, and it's just like going back to the, some of these other issues. It wasn't very long ago here we had a major bubble burst on farm ground prices, you know, and the value went down. A lot of these guys were over-leveraged on buying farm ground, and they were way too high. And so it was like, well, you either have to put up or get out. You know, you got to come up with enough money to cover your, because we're upside down at the bank. And I can remember thinking, I wonder how they're going to get around this, you know. And, of course, the next thing that happened was, and I seen it happen right around here, local and close, but the bankers called them in and said, now, look, you're running ditch irrigation, which, you know, that's been working for, 40 years or 50 years, no problem. But, you know, you're upside down here on that ground. But if we go in and finance you a pivot onto that ground, that's going to raise the value of your ground out. And so the answer to being in debt too deeply was to go in and get more in debt. I mean, it's just absolutely upside down and backwards to what any of the rest of us would think. You know what I mean? So, so let's don't write it down. Let's write it up.
Well, there's going to be a remnant left, so just buckle your seatbelt.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, it is exciting times. I mean, it's like you were talking about earlier, Paul, with people, you know, used to be sharing equipment and stuff, and that's, you know, I've been encouraged to see that. A couple years ago, I sent you, I think you've seen pictures when I got my first no-till drill after reading that Gabe Brown's book. I mean, basically, that really changed, that was an eye-opener for me and something that really changed my life, and I looked long and hard and was able to finally found one that needed a little bit of work. It was still expensive, but I started off with a, I think it was a 9 foot 9 foot drill. And boy, I'll tell you what, that thing has got some use around here in the community. That's for sure. It's there's people that took to that and put these cover crops in and went all over the place. And that's it's got some miles on it now, but it's exciting to see because people have completely changed their agricultural practices. And, you know, this time of year, it's really neat to see that you start seeing these cover crops start popping up and growing and they're turning green. And it's just it's really exciting.
Well, you know, it's got to take it like this. You buy something and you go put it together and it ain't right. So then you go back and read the instructions and do it right. You know, how much time and effort do you have in doing it twice? I mean, you know, this is why you say it's expensive. But, yeah, once you screw up and done it for years, it is expensive to get back on track. But it's worth it. You know, when you can farm without buying, you know, our guy gave me an article. I know of the guy down in Indiana, he farms 7,000 acres, but he saves $2 million on inputs. And he buys just about no fertilizer, nothing. He's just that's how productive land can be, and it's catching on.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's caught on around here like crazy, and there's even some signs driving between my house and Tim's house is about 3.5-4 hour drive, and they've got signs out there that are big signs, like billboard signs that, you know, talk about this. This farm is now using regenerative agriculture practices, and you know, this farm is using no fertilizer, and it's really neat to see.
Do not spray with Roundup. Yeah, it's signs like
that. But you take a kernel of corn, put it in the ground, get a 400 to 600% increase, you can't make a living. Something's majorly wrong here. Because that's increased. And all the increase comes from agriculture, mining, or labor. And that is what the profit of that's, you know, if you read up on economics, that's where the new money comes into the system. Yeah, but our people control the markets and control everything, and they keep the price right where it is, and then they give you your, government payments just to keep you alive, but you're running right on the edge. And God wants us productive, and he wants us to, you know, the thing of it is, he's not against capitalism. He wants you to be profitable, but the thing of it is, when you make money, you got to give God the first 10% and some benefits to other people, and that's where things people go wrong. You know, they're afraid to invest in the future, and that's what a tithe really is. It's God don't need the money, but we need to do it because for our own benefit.
Yeah.
You know, I've read too in times when they did it God's way. They only worked about 26 weeks a year. And the rest, you know, they had time to do whatever they liked to do, fish or whatever, you know. But the one thing, well, you get too much time in your hands, you get in trouble too. But whenever, I don't know, that book that I got from Jason there too about the economy, you know, George Washington was having a time, and time to sound just like now, say morality and everything like that. And how he fixed it. He went to a gold and silver standard, and it cleaned right up so amazingly fast, it was pathetic. And Putin has said, like, our dollar bill is about as valuable as a gum wrapper. And that's absolutely true. When they're just throwing money, I mean, they're spending way more than money than they're taking in. That's called the national debt. And they're just like drunken sailors, and it's not working. So we get all this, you know, crickets and everything else. That's insanity. Electric cars, it'll never work. You know, I know a guy one time that got a car. It must have been a freak or something. It was an Oldsmobile a long time ago. And he drove that thing all the way to the UP and back on one tank of gas. Now, these gas engines can be made much, much more efficient. Somebody did it. But, I mean, I don't think he was supposed to have that car, but he did have it for some reason. But that was a true story. And I understand there's a lot of the gas that goes to your vehicle is just wasted.
Yeah, there are interesting designs out there all over the place. They want to make sure that we're just you know, spinning our wheels. And they got, like you say, if you have too much time, you get in trouble. But they look at it like that too. If they have too much time to think or worship their God, like, you know, there might be a restorative process take place. So we need to keep them chasing their tails and you know, keep them on all of the antidepressants we can, and keep them financially stoked up, and you know, keep them working. Let's keep both of them working 50, 60 hours a week so that we can educate their children in ways that are ungodly and unproductive, and we'll saddle them with debt. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, and that's the way it works. When God's way is like, he says, peace and prosperity, you know, I mean, it's like, there's not even, it seems to me that you have, I guess, and he said it in the Bible, you choose life or you choose death, because that's the boiled down, you know, Reader's Digest version of it. Their way is death, God's way is life.
Well, you know, I used to go deer hunting on this one island out in Lake Michigan. You're out there for a week, and, you know, they drop you off on a boat, and you're out there for a whole week. I used to go down to this health food store, and I got this sprouted bread. And anyway, I could eat one slice and I was full. You couldn't eat two slices. That's how good food can be. And today you just go through volume and volume and it just goes through you. But that, I'll never forget that, and I can't get it no more. It was a sprouted bread made up in Minnesota. But that was so potent, and that's the way food used to be. You just don't need that much. You know, I got my uncle's farm a little ways from here, and it's got a great big hay barn, and he's got a little bitty corn crib. It's just quite a picture of history. And it's just really, you know, cows made to eat hay. I can show you a picture of cows I'm raising with absolutely no grain, and it's marbled and to the good, you know. And I told a friend of mine, and he did a round steak, and he said, you cut it with a fork. It's just a whole different mentality on how to get this stuff done. Cows may eat grass. That's what the West is great for, except they'll graze once in a while.
Amen. Well, we'll go to you, Richard. Do you got anything that you wanted to add in?
Richard's sleeping.
All right. Well, that phone number, we lost a couple phone calls there. It was 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. And I know we had a couple calls that came in there. I don't know. I think we just had a bad connection. But, yeah, if you're out there, you can go ahead and call back. Or we'll just continue to move on. This agricultural thing is, you know, getting excited. I've seen a lot of people that just, you know, here recently. Last night I was talking with some people that had, you know, got their cover crops in, and it just seems like there's more and more and more people that are doing it, and there's more and more people that are wanting the books, like the Homestead Tsunami, the Joe Salatin book that Paul's been talking about, the Gabe Brown book, Dirt to Soil, fantastic book. You know, and people are getting on the bandwagon, and they're going with this stuff, and they're getting rid of they're getting rid of their fertilizer guys and their chemical guys, which is huge.
One thing about that Gabe Brown book, which if you read it and stuff, you got to realize the span of time that's in that book. You know, people get that book and just going to go do it. It don't happen that fast. There's a transition time. And if you read what Gabe actually says, it takes time. You know, you've got to experiment with it and get it, make it work for you. And, you know, I kind of got excited about it too. And then I had this reality check where you have this time factor. And that's one of the biggest curses we have now. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. And that's really hard for a guy like me and Jason to live. So, but we're working on it. So, yeah. No, it's exciting. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am the Lord. You know, sit down and listen to the bird. I can't hear them real good, but I've just sat down and, you know, I would have to tell you, get out of those Judeo-Christian church because they're an anchor on your spiritual life.
Amen.
I think a lot of times it's such an equation when we look at these things, you know, it's like, well, what can I put into my life to get more out? And, you know, a lot of us, and it's the same way with the farming or with really any kind of business, you know, it's an equation. I mean, there's two or three things that go in and you get this much out. And we have a lot of people who say, well, you know, their overhead is one of those things. And the overhead that these guys pay is just insane. I mean, on these farms, as far as fertilizer and herbicide, and then insurance for crop insurance. And, you know, you got federal crop insurance and you've got hail insurance and you've got all these other things. And then there's the new equipment cost. But when you start looking at that, it's like, well, if we do it God's way, our overhead or our front end load is going to go way down. If you drop front end load by, a few percent every year, it's not very long. And gee, what, you may not actually be taking any more crop bulk or anything else, but what you have goes way further and it's worth more because you didn't spend as much of it, you know, at the beginning of the year. So, and I don't know. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. And like you say, we have to wait. you know, there's some transition time and there's some struggle time. It's got to be done.
Well, there used to be a guy from Iowa, I can't think of his name right at the moment. He used to come to meetings up in Illinois or up in Wisconsin that we had. I was talking to him. He had 900 acres and doing commodities, corn, beans, you know, the whole route. He was going broke. I said, well, why don't you sell about half that farm and do something more profitable? Why don't you raise some vegetables? It was something, just something different. Figure it out what you want to do. Well, I haven't seen him for a long time, and we have this show here in Grand Rapids, the horticulture show, and it's big. Everybody, they come from Alaska all over to do this thing. And he came in there, and he said to me, Paul, I did what you said. I'm making some money. Sometimes we think bigger than we're capable of.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are just about out of time, folks. I want to thank you for being here, and we'll have a new message for you tomorrow from church. And, gentlemen, you got any closing thoughts?
I'm wore out.
I don't know.
Stay strong, choke God.
Amen. I want to encourage people. There's a lot of doom and gloom going on out there. There's a lot of people that are scared of this and scared of that. And, you know, just want to encourage people to continue to have faith. Have faith, trust the Lord. He is in control. He always has been, and he will continue to do so. But I also believe that now is the time of prayer. We need to, you know, be praying for one another, praying for, you know, the future of our, you know, for our children. Praying for families. You know, families are getting attacked, children are getting attacked. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual warfare that's taking place. Encourage people to, you know, spend the time in prayer that they need to spend. But also, you know, smile at the future. And, you know, though weary, you know, we press on just like those Gideon soldiers of old. We need to continue to be doing that. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. And, you know, don't let the enemy get you down. We see these things. We see the invasion that's coming across the border. We see these wars and rumors of wars. You know, we don't need to be fretting over evildoers. We need to be found firm in our faith, smiling at the future, and being strong. Asking our Heavenly Father, how can we help? What can we do? You know, here I am. Use me. And stay strong.
It's the gospel. It's the good news.
It is the good
news. Get rid of everything that keeps you from being happy. You know, there's a time for being unhappy because, you know, we got to have our valleys to straighten us out, but we got to come out of it with a gospel and a smile on our face. So it's very important.
Yeah.
Zephaniah 2:10-11. This they will have in return for their arrogance, because they have taunted and boasted against the people of the Lord of armies. The Lord will be terrifying to them, for he will starve all the gods of the earth, and all the coastlands of the nations will bow down to him, everyone from his own place.
Amen. Well, thanks, men, for being here this morning. Thank you, Remnant.
We have a free gift to give you of tremendous value, a gift that can change your life and open your eyes to the inside of world events and the present happenings in America. Listen on. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, heard worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on satellite, at the website www.scripturesforamerica.org, and on radio. This tremendous outreach is made possible by the prayers and financial support of the faithful. If this includes you, we would like to send you this special gift of a 90-minute DVD entitled Roots, From Abraham to America. It's a part trailblazing TV program with Pastor Peters and fearless famed historian and archaeologist E. Raymond Capps, bringing history and a key to the kingdom, truth that is purposely and maliciously being kept from you and your children, truths concerning the biblical roots of the white people who settled America. In the 1960s, the question asked by a troubled generation of Caucasian children was, "Who am I?" This DVD gives the answer, back with proofs, archaeological evidence, and maps you can get nowhere else. Get this free gift by writing to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Ask for the Roots DVD. It's our way of saying thank you to those of you who support this Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Get it while you can, this free, life-changing, eye-opening, mystery-solving DVD. roots from Abraham to America. You have nothing to lose and only truth to gain.
The ancient prophet Isaiah foretold a time and a people who would awaken one fearful morning and discover they'd been conquered while their watchmen slept. Could they have been speaking of today? Of America? As we sink ever deeper.